Hello, friends. Welcome to the Living Truth Podcast. I am hosting. This is Kristen Carey, and I am here with my husband, Michael Carey. Michael, this is the first time in like 3 years we've recorded a podcast together, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the first one was just after COVID or somewhere around in there. Maybe
It was 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Yeah, 4 years ago, February, when we started out.
Yep. Happy birthday to the Living Truth Podcast, right?
Yeah, it's 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just learning how to crawl.
That's right.
Walk.
Well, friends, thank you for dialing in and listening into this podcast. I guess you're not dialing in. I have a touch of what you might call trauma brain right now. So we're just going to keep it real here, you guys. This is the third time Michael and I have attempted to record this particular podcast, and we're scrapping our original outline of what we were going to talk about. Keep this very raw and real. So the first time we were going to record an episode together, we ended up having a disagreement that we needed to use our time for podcasting to resolve and work through our disagreement. So we scrapped it.
Wait, that was fighting then.
Well, it's what I would call a fight, which you call, that was more like a disagreement because you have experienced fights that are far more intense. And our version of a disagreement is imperceptible to the naked eye, to most people, because we're just really having a disagreement. But we were
our daughter calls it a fight though. Yeah. Ella does. If I start to sound a little bit intense, you know, like, you need to stop that right away. She says, you're yelling at me. Yeah. Different perspectives, right? That's interesting. But so the very first one was thwarted, I guess. And then we've attempted again. I don't remember all the details of
trying a new podcasting software, and for an hour we attempted and it failed. And then we ran out of time. So here we are, our third attempt. And today has been a doozy of a day. So we toyed around with what could we call this podcast. And one of my ideas, I'm going to keep it G-rated here, was when do I stop getting my butt kicked? We had lots of great topics because here's the deal, you guys. If you're listening to this, you probably think we have our stuff together because we lead a ministry and we have a public podcast and all these things. Okay, so what I want to tell you is that every single person on the planet is deeply flawed and deeply broken and human and limited and has a lot of pain and joy, and all of these things are true of us. And so what we decided we are going to approach today, and this is a very much an in the raw, non-prepped episode. We scrapped our original outline because we weren't feeling it today. And instead, we are going to talk about the role of warfare in dealing with crises. So why is that an important topic to you, Michael?
Because, and that was going to be another great title for this podcast, Satan is an A-hole, I think is what was on the table we were thinking of. Now, what I teach guys in Men of the Battle is that we never blame anyone or anything for our behavior. We have to hold two things at the same time. You know, we hold the idea that there are some root causes. There are different things that are stirring stuff. And that is true, but also we take full responsibility for our own behavior at the same time. Right. It's kind of like, if I was in a car accident and I take full responsibility for the error, but then I have to rewind and say, was I texting and driving? You know, what's the original, what's underneath it? What was the real cause? Was I on the phone? Was I distracted? Did the sun, you know, like I didn't wash my windshield, whatever. That's what I mean, right? But I take full responsibility for the car accident. But I still have to figure out what's going on underneath it. And in the area of warfare, the enemy is never not involved, but it's taking a look at all the different pieces to the puzzle, you know, of what all was I experiencing, what from my past was being triggered, what are all of the ingredients that caused me to behave the way that I behave. So the idea of warfare is always a piece of different things. So yeah, the podcast, there's a lot of different things that caused us to scrap recording a podcast, you know, and if we're not getting along or we're feeling overwhelmed and need to talk about other things off camera and not recording it, of course. Yeah. Personal conversations. We need to work through stuff or whatever it is. Is Satan involved in that? Is he the one that's thwarting these things? Like, well, he's not 100% to blame, but he's not involved. Is that right? Two negatives. Yeah. He's never not involved. Right.
Yeah. What's your take on that? Opportunistic, right? So like a shark to blood, right? He's always looking for an opportunity, but here's a big, but ready. I think that there's a lot of times, especially in this arena of unwanted sexual behavior and sex addiction and betrayal trauma, where we can overload the blame on Satan. And it's kind of an easy cop out. And here's what I mean. Let me just give you an example from a betrayed partner's perspective. And then, Michael, I'm sure you have a great example for a person with unwanted sexual behavior. So I frequently hear women talk about they're like having intrusive thoughts. They're having these really mistrusting feelings about their husband and they don't know if they should trust him and they're super angry, but they don't know if they should be. And then basically categorizing all of these symptoms and more as Satan not wanting their marriage to work out. And so they're being attacked. And I cringe when I see that or hear that. And here's why. Because all of those things that I just described, whether it's intrusive thoughts of what you have heard that he did with somebody else, or what the pornography that you've seen that he saw, whether it's intrusive thoughts flashing through your mind in a nightmare or in your waking life, whether it's getting panicky or feeling like I can't trust him and that gut sense that something's wrong, I don't know if I can trust him. All of these feelings and more that I'm not listing are trauma symptoms. And so God wired our bodies and our brains and our guts to go off when our attachment with our primary relationship is ruptured. And I think it's a big thing to blame Satan and like, oh, he doesn't want my marriage to succeed. And I'm not saying that there's not a warfare element involved, but I think that it's much easier to look at Satan as the enemy than the scarier possibility that your husband is the actual source of danger or threat because of his trust breaking activities. And what is happening in you may not really be the result of warfare. Satan doesn't have to work very hard because God has already created us with this threat response in our brains and in our guts and in our hearts, that when there's an incongruence or when there's been a secret sexual life, it'll go off like crazy. And then we have all these trauma symptoms. So it's problematic to blame that on the enemy, because then we never actually get help for the trauma, for the betrayal trauma. We never actually address the true source of the threat, which is his unwanted sexual behavior and deception. And it's kind of comforting to some couples, I think, to have like a common enemy, and the common enemy is Satan. But it can be a real cop out. And the reality is that God did not make us in spirit alone, but we are body, soul, spirit, heart, mind, will. We have a nervous system. We have a gut. All of these things work in unison together. They're not separate. And so I think it's really important to not over spiritualize what is warfare and what is not.
Yeah, over spiritualizing is maybe a human response, trying to make things simpler when maybe it's more complex than that. And that's the danger of not looking at all the ingredients, but making assumptions. Well, it's just this one thing. And that's my point. What I was bringing up earlier, it's never just that one thing, but it's a bunch of things, right? There are many things involved. And like the shark on blood in the water, like you said, Satan is certainly smelling the trauma, and they are all over trauma. Absolutely. Because why? Well, that's when our defenses are down, we're weak. Maybe our defenses are up, but the weakness, we're more vulnerable. Susceptible.
Yeah.
Vulnerable. More vulnerable. That's, yeah. Yeah, I didn't say it. Yeah. Our defenses aren't down. It's the vulnerable thing, right? Trauma is like that gap in the armor, you know, that they can get in. And for sure, they, you know, especially in the case of Christian marriages, absolutely, the dark forces in the world want to break marriages apart. Yeah. So trying to convince a woman that she should leave the marriage, or that she should stay when she shouldn't. I mean, there's so much confusion. And I think that's in certain circumstances, it's good not to make a decision in either way. Right. But to let yourself get to a place of that safety and stabilization that you treat, that you teach women about, and making the assumption that Satan, you know, or that God is involved, trying to tell them that their marriage should end or whatever it might be. Making
that assumption. We don't ever advise like that. That's completely never. Right. It's not a thing at all that we talk about, because that's nobody's business but that woman herself.
Right, but that making that assumption. Could it be that she's feeling that way because that feels safe to leave, right? I mean, that's part of that. That might feel safe if she leves the marriage.
Yeah, but most women do not want to leave. Most women are racked with guilt over the idea of leaving. The majority of women after betrayal, especially after a first or second discovery or disclosure, it might, the thought that maybe I need to just leave tends to ramp up with over long periods of ongoing betrayal trauma, right? But most women in the earlier stages are actually wanting to stay and repair. And I think that is the very reason why they want Satan to be the enemy rather than the idea that their husband is actually the source of the threat. Because they want, most women want it to work. If he'll change and he'll stop acting out and be truthful and grow in emotional maturity, right? It's not just about not acting out. It's about growing up to be a man, a mature, integrated man, right?
Yeah.
And most women want that with all of their hearts. In what way do you think men with unwanted sexual behavior might over-spiritualize or blame something on Satan, or that it's warfare, when it's actually far more complex than just warfare?
Yeah, just in the same way, like we were talking about oversimplifying things or trying to not take responsibility. And that when, you know, when a guy is ashamed of his behavior, it can be difficult for him to own it, you know, especially in the face of pain, when he's caused other people pain, you know, taking responsibility. I've hurt you. And my behavior caused this. That is, just like you mentioned a minute ago, that's more of a mature adult behavior that behaves like that, that takes responsibility, right? And the unwanted sexual behavior is an immature response to coping with life and many different things that's wrapped up in there. But in and of itself, it's immature. Right. So I think that's the biggest thing, would be blaming Satan because he is not able and willing to take full responsibility. And that usually comes from shame, right? Feeling ashamed. So, but in reality, and that's what we teach in Men in the Battle, is to take a look at every possible angle that would have influenced the behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to look at our immaturity and face that. We do need to look at the spiritual warfare, the ideas of temptation, how the enemy wants to lure us in. We need to look at all of these different things, the trauma that we've experienced throughout our life, and how is that triggered, you know, in today. So it is a lot of ingredients, like we said, and not just one thing. Mm-hmm. But it is part of the ingredients for sure. I like it. I teach guys that it's kind of like a pizza, though I need to find a different, you know, I mean, I like pizza, though. That's the problem with that analogy. But it's like pizza, like how many slices are spiritual warfare? And guys want to, in the beginning, maybe, depends. But I've seen guys in the very beginning that are really ready and really willing. And so some guys might say that it was more than 50%, you know, warfare, whatever it is, when maybe it's just one out of the 25 slices in that pizza.
Right. The enemy does not have to work very hard. When you have neural pathways, like a canyon, like grooves in your brain of behavior, when you're in shame, you end up going into self-soothing with unwanted sexual behavior to try to feel better. And then you feel shame and, you know, the whole addiction cycle. He doesn't have to work that hard to lure us. When we have those well-worn pathways in our neural circuitry, when we don't have the ability to regulate our nervous system, when we are trying to numb out and dissociate from past trauma, like, it's not very difficult for a person to just act out because of their brain, heart, body wiring, right? So the enemy, I think more warfare probably is implemented when we're children, like in terms of like, let's steal, kill, and destroy. And also once we really try to dig in with recovery, because when we try to stop that pattern of behavior is when, you know, there's obviously, it's not just warfare that ramps up. There's all kinds of other things, but I love what you said about one piece out of 25 pieces of the pizza. It's like, let's put it in its proper place.
But to piggyback on what you just said, another thing that I teach guys too is so a guy might say he looked at porn, and what is the trigger? We talk about triggers, you know, and that means different things to different people. Some guys might say the trigger was the thing that popped up on the side of my Amazon or Facebook feed of the half naked woman. And that's not the trigger. That's the bait leading you into using to soothe. What was actually triggered first before the bait arrived? So maybe the enemy is involved in the bait, quite possibly. Yeah. The temptation. That's what I call temptation, right? But the trigger is what's causing you to feel like a wee little man, you know, what's causing you to feel like a worm today, feel like a failure, feel like an idiot, feel stupid. What's triggering anger, resentment, right? Sadness, emotions that he's not used to, that he was taught not to deal with, not to feel, right? So that's the trigger. The real trigger happens way before he even sat in front of the computer, you know, and saw the clickbait on Facebook or whatever it is. So that's the bait, not the trigger. So where is Satan involved? Certainly, I think that they can also be involved in stirring things up to create the actual trigger, what I'm defining as the trigger as well, right? Sure, you know, people get stirred up over dumb little things, right? And most of you, yeah, you mentioned earlier our disagreement. And I have no idea what it was about. So
oh, probably, I remember, but I'm not going to air it on our podcast.
Somehow I'm regretting that I said that, but I knew you would.
I'm not going to say it.
I don't know. Okay. So
I'll tell you later.
Usually there are things that are small and insignificant and like, why were we upset about that? You know, whatever.
Because we were triggered.
Right. It's an overreaction. Yeah. It's an overreaction. And when we're triggered, we regress into younger places inside of ourselves. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that just happened to us a week or two ago, huh?
No, it was like a month ago. The week ago was the tech disaster with trying to.
Oh, okay.
No, it was like a month ago.
We've grown a lot since then. So we're all grown up now.
Yeah.
Are we better?
Yeah, we're good. We're done. Like
we're fixed.
Oh yeah.
Like, wasn't that was the original thing we were going to talk about was the fact that people need to understand that we don't come to a place where we've arrived, but
right. And recovery is a lifelong process.
It's a work in progress, you know, mm-hmm. Growing and growing and growing. But it is a mixed bag. You know, we, in many ways, we want to expect ourselves to perform better. We want to be more mature. We want to be the person that's growing and changing. But how we, I think, want others to perceive us is that we're done. You know, we're the shiny stars that have figured out what is that silver bullet that makes us complete and done. So we don't have to grow anymore. You know, we don't make mistakes. I don't know. That's addictive thinking, isn't it? Though
it's kind of what our world and like, especially the world we live in today with social media and influencers and, you know, anybody can be a celebrity eventually at some point. I mean, it's kind of the world we live in where we want other people to think we're put together or we have our crap together. We know what's going on. We know how to handle things. We know how to handle ourselves and we have a really great, happy life. And the reality is that we are all deeply broken and we are very complex. Human beings are, you know, we're created in the image of God. And that is a very complex, multifaceted image, not just one dimensional, but like 30 dimensional, not just 3D, 30D.
30, right. So we have a lot of broken parts for sure. And, but that was what we were originally going to talk about. I think maybe that's a little teaser for a future show. And these are, you know, this kind of discussion, I think, and banter sometimes that we do, I think, when we've done this live, you know, when we've given live presentations and stuff, I think people really like it. And they've enjoyed it when we've done it in front of groups of a couple hundred people and so on. I think it'd be really cool to keep this on the agenda too. And do more of just us, you and I talking. So that, you know, we can save for a future podcast, right?
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, friends, if you would take a moment to rate and review our podcast, that would really help more people see it. And if you would like to have more episodes of Michael and Kristen Unplugged, just the two of us here, would you let us know in the comments? Or reach out to support@living-truth.org and let them know, like, yes, we want more of these.
Even the people who want to put negative reviews, like, that does actually boost our people find us in the search engines that way. So,
thank you, friends, for listening. And until the next time, we're holding out hope for you.